Listening to Mouth to the Moon, coming to you from CKUW 95.9 FM Winnipeg, here with Mr. Mumbles.
Thank you. Ironized Yeast presents Lights Out, Everybody. Lights Out brings you stories of the supernatural and the supernormal, dramatizing the fantasies and the mysteries of the unknown. We tell you this frankly, so if you wish to avoid the excitement and tension of these imaginative plays, we urge you calmly, but sincerely, to turn off your radio now.
This is Arch Ovaler. For Ironized Yeast tonight, a story of that still small voice which civilized men call conscience. But first, Frank Martin.
The way you feel, that can make all the difference in your life. If you're run down, losing weight, feel tired too much of the time, and if vitamin B1 and iron shortage is what's to blame, listen. Ironized yeast tablets give you both vital substances. Vitamin B1 with iron. Men and women who were short of them now tell how these pleasant little tablets help them regain glorious pep and energy and needed pounds. So today they can really enjoy living again. Folks, did you get that name? It's Ironized Yeast Tablets. And now, Lights Out, Everybody.
Keep moving along, ladies and gentlemen. Keep moving. There ain't no life in here. Keep moving.
Hey, officer, what's going on in the hall? What's the blooming attraction?
Read the signs, my man. Read the signs.
Eh? Oh. The great Peter Stransky, world-famous explorer, appearing in person in lecture on headhunters of the Amazon. Go, Brian.
Move along, fella. Move along.
No, officer. Will you tell a bloke what that headhunting is referring to? Who's on to
next? Now, look here, you're obstructing traffic. It's lecturing the man is. Lecturing on these heathen tribes that aren't their neighbor's heads. Now, move along, man. Move along, or I'll take you in.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, now you know the story of these strange motion pictures I have shown you this evening. For the first time in history, motion pictures taken of the lower Brazilian region. Someday soon, I hope to return to Brazil and bring back more cinematic records of the customs of these almost legendary savages, including actual specimens of heads and bodies taken and preserved in their bloodthirsty wars. When that day comes, I hope you will be as kind to me as you have been this evening. And so, good night until we meet again.
Excellent lecture, Spensky. Excellent.
Yes. It went very well indeed.
Complete sellout. That headhunting theme meant excellent publicity in all the papers, you know.
Yes, yes, of course. Now, if you'll pardon me, my wife...
Oh, but my dear Spensky, autograph.
They paid to listen to my lecturing and see my motion pictures, not to get my autograph. I'm sorry, my wife, she will be waiting and I...
Oh, come, come, don't worry about her. She's well taken care of.
Eh? What are you talking about?
I just passed her backstage, and she had a handsome young gentleman having quite a tete-a-tete, don't you know?
You will pardon me.
Oh, John.
Oh. Come now, Ellen, you must do it.
Oh, but John, that's ridiculous. Who ever heard of such a silly thing?
I did, and that's why I'm telling it to you.
Well, I won't listen to another word. I really won't.
Oh, yes, you will.
No, I won't.
If I might be so bold as to interrupt.
Oh, Peter, it's you.
I'm sorry to interrupt your most interesting conversation, my dear wife, but we must go.
But, Peter, we...
Come, I said. The automobile is waiting.
But I... Very well, Peter. Good night, John.
Good night, Ellen.
Come. Get into the car, Ellen.
Why don't you say something, Peter?
Yes. Yes, I will say something.
This.
Well, why don't you speak? Why don't you cry?
I wouldn't give you the satisfaction.
So, you save your tears for him, too. Say something.
I'm leaving you, Peter.
Leaving me? What are you talking about?
I spoke clearly enough. I'm leaving you.
Don't be a fool.
I'm trying not to be. That's why I'm leaving you. I should have done it a long time ago.
You'll go to him.
No, nope. I'm going to divorce you first, Peter.
Divorce?
I won't have any difficulty about that, I'm sure.
No, never a divorce from me, never.
You'll have no choice. Please stop the car.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Ellen?
I'm sorry for you, Peter.
No. I'm sorry for you. And him. Come in, Ellen. Come in. And you too, young man.
What do you want of us, Peter?
It was very kind of you two to come here and join me tonight.
You said it was important, Strensky. What is it?
Oh, have a chair. Sit down. There is no hurry.
Well, John and I, we're on our way to the theater. If you don't mind, Peter, tell us what you want.
I want little. We have come to what the novelist would call the parting of the ways. As civilized human beings, we sit down. I, the husband, you, the wife, and you, young man, the... shall I say, favored one, to discuss our welfare.
I'm sorry it worked out this way, Peter. I...
this life, perhaps the fault was largely mine. I was not a very good husband.
You're acting very decently about all this, Mr. Strinsky. All I can say is I love Ellen very much.
And you love him, Ellen?
Yes, Peter.
If we could arrange matters quickly, I mean the divorce and all that sort of thing.
Of course. I just said we are together like civilized human beings. And now, if you'll excuse me, I will close the door. The servant, you know.
He's acting surprisingly well about it all, Ellen.
I'm not so sure,
John. So, now what I have to say, I say in complete privacy.
Peter, just why did you want John and me here?
Yes. We should come to the point. You and I, Ellen, I... suppose there is no use talking about us anymore. Is there?
No.
So. All right, I will be a gentleman. I will withdraw as gracefully as my clumsy self will permit. First, then, we will sign the papers.
Papers?
I want you to waive our rights.
Oh, just as you wish.
Excellent. So here is the legal form as drawn up by my solicitor. I assure you, it's quite in order. You will sign first, young man.
Me?
Yes. Yes, as a... witness, you understand?
Oh, very well. My pen.
No, no, no. Use this one, please. Here. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, John, what's the matter?
Oh, nothing. Just a scratch. The pen point.
Oh, I'm so clumsy.
John,
oh, it's nothing, really. See, the pen point hardly broke the skin.
Yes, but it did break the skin.
Oh, yes, John. You see a drop of blood.
Oh, it's nothing at all. Just a scratch. Unimportant.
Why did you laugh like that, Peter?
He said unimportant, and yet it is the most important scratch your young man has ever known.
How's that?
What do you mean, Peter? What's wrong?
You feel something, John?
What?
A constriction between the eyes, perhaps,
Peter.
Or maybe a strange pounding of the heart.
Peter,
or
what
perhaps,
have you done?
John, your vision blurs. You hear strange sounds in your ears. Great lover?
Peter, answer me. What have you done? John, are you all right? Tell me, are you all right?
I don't know. My head is so strange.
John, what is it?
I think I'll sit down.
Peter, what's wrong with him? What's wrong? John. John, what do you... Your lips...
You cannot speak, can you, John? If you open your mouth, the words will be your last. Great lover?
Peter, tell me. Tell me, have you done something to him? Have you? John, look at me, darling. Speak to me. Tell me what's the matter.
Yes.
John.
Yes, speak, John.
Eleanor,
John! Peter, help me. He's fallen. Peter, help me. Help me.
Help you?
But, John, look at him. Look at him. He's ill, dying. Doctor, get a doctor.
Not a doctor, my little wife. Doctors cannot restore even great lovers after the poison of Barakata has entered the veins.
Poison? That pen? That scratch?
Ellen, you must... So, the thought of your lover's death draws the blood from your head and you faint, eh, my little wife? When you awaken, you will wish that you... died with him.
Oh.
Again.
My arm.
You are bound in a chair. It is most discourteous of me, I know, but then, as you may remember, I always was a barbarian.
John. John.
You will keep your voice down.
John. You've got to tell me. Where is he? Why am I down here? John's not dead. He can't be dead. There on that table, under the sheet. Not John.
Yes, John.
John, you've killed him. Let me loose. Let me go to him.
Stop that.
John.
Stop making that noise, you mad woman. Stop it. Stop it, I say. All right, I'll stop you then. I'll stop you. All right. There, my little wife, scream, yell, rave all you want. This gag over your mouth serves its purpose well. Go on, you amuse me. So, now you have discovered it is useless to talk to the gag, eh, Ellen? It is such a waste of effort, is it not? So now that you are silent, I can go on with my work. Most important work. Yes, you were right about what was on this table here. See? I throw off the sheet. And he was such a handsome man. Well, I must get to work. Ah, you no longer try to speak, my little Ellen. Does the sight of these beautiful surgical instruments frighten you? They need not. They're not for you. They are for John. Yes, he is dead. Dead. The poison too quickly, but do you think I would let him rest in death? Oh, no. I loved you, Ellen. And as I loved you, I hate you. Watch closely. What? I'm sorry, I cannot understand you. Oh. You ask me what I'm going to do. The knives, sharp knives, you see them? No, they are not to dismember your precious John. Flesh buried, decays, and is gone. I want your dear John with me for a long time. Again, you ask a question. I'm trying so hard to explain. He's dead, and he will be dead. But in his death, he will serve a purpose. You remember I told you my savage Brazilian friends, the Yavaros, have a quaint custom of shrinking and preserving the bodies of their enemies. Well, I studied their methods most carefully. John Douglas was my enemy. Here he lies. And I will do with him as the Yavaros do with their enemies. So, now you understand. When I'm through with him, your lover will be a little leathery-skinned man, a doll-like in size, a trophy for my trophy room. Who will suspect that in that little leathery doll-like figure is the body of an Englishman? And so he will amuse me in his death. Yes. And you will sit there, my little wife. You will sit in that chair for the many days it will take me to prepare the carcass. You will sit and watch me day after day as with smoke and with heat I make the strong body of your lover smaller and smaller. You will sit there.
Ladies and gentlemen, a deep breath, please, before we go on with this story of a jealous husband and the strange and terrible revenge he took against his wife and the man she loved. Yes, before we go on with tonight's lights-out story, a moment for relaxation and a return to the realities of today. The place is a shipyard, and a worker is saying,
I quit my desk job because I wanted to help build ships to win the war, but I'm afraid I can't keep on. I'm losing weight. I'm so restless, I lay awake most of last night again. I feel so tired out so often when I know I shouldn't. I hardly know what to do.
Do? Why, find the cause of your trouble. And if it's a deficiency of vitamin B1 and iron, get ironized yeast tablets.
Vitamin B1 and iron? Ionized yeast tablets? I don't understand.
You see, you're working harder now, so naturally you need more strength and energy. But when you don't get enough vitamin B1 from your food, you may lose your appetite, not eat all you need, and so lose weight and strength. And without enough iron, you may be weak and pale and too often feel all in. But ironized yeast tablets give you both vital substances. Vitamin B1 with iron.
Maybe I better try ironized yeast tablets.
By all means do if you're deficient in vitamin B1 and iron. Ironized yeast tablets have greatly helped many, many others with these deficiencies. See if they're not of equal benefit to you. See if before long you too aren't saying...
Since I've been feeling so much better, I sleep like a baby. That tired out feeling is gone. I'm sure glad I tried ironized yeast tablets.
And now back to our lights out story of the little people.
Fire is warm. Hell, warm, so very warm. The air filled with smoke. Dry, swirling smoke. See how it coils around him. At first, how often you cried out when I talked like this, but now you're silent. Weeks. How many weeks has it been? 4, 5, 6? It used to take my savage friends 10 weeks to dry and cure the bodies of their enemies. 10 weeks. And I have done it in 5. Look at him. 6 foot strong and broad he was, but now a doll in size, a small brown doll. Oh, what weary days they've been, filling the body full of sand and slowly turning in the smoke and the heat, not too quickly, not too slowly, not too close to the flames. And now, the man that was John Douglas, a doll, a brown doll of death. The flames are noisy. Noisy as you are silent, little Ellen. You are... Oh, I hadn't noticed. Your eyes are closed. Wake up. Wake up! Wake up, I say. You've got to look at him. Your eyes have got to see him. You've got to see him. You're speaking. I cannot understand you. The gag, yes. Yes, I will take it off. Sitting there all these weeks, you haven't got the strength. There, that does it. Your lips are free. Well, look at him, Ellen. Look at him and tell me what you think of John Douglas now.
Smoke twisting and twisting around him. Smoke is taking him. Where is he gone?
Ellen!
Where is he gone?
Ellen!
Smoke. I'll go to him in the smoke. He's waiting.
Ellen, stop. Stop, you hear? Understand? You must understand.
Smoke, he will wait for me.
Smoke. What are you raving about?
Yes, smoke. See how it curls around him.
No.
He's waiting.
No, stop talking like that. Stop talking like that, I say.
He's waving.
The knife, where is the knife? I'll stop you. No! Ellen, I... All right. Dead. Up on the table with you. I must prepare you, Ellen, for the smoke and the fire. Took me 5 weeks with him, and now 5 more weeks with you. And then you will be as he is. Brown with the smoke of the curing fire. A little doll in size.
The Borneo and the Celebes are not the only savage tribes which indulged in this most curious pastime of collecting human heads as trophies. In my travels in far-off places, I have come across at least 20 other races who participate in this strange custom.
Let's get out of here, Mamie. Weather means as dry as dust. Oh, but who cares about head-hunting men and the likes of that? Let's get out of here and go to a cinema. Squat.
Oh,
all right.
And they went raiding and killing their enemies. generally in nocturnal surprises. These savages severed the heads of the dead and returned with them to their villages. Members of the tribe believe their rank in the next world depends upon the number of heads secured. But, unquestionably, the most curious custom is found among the Yavaros of South America, who not only sever the heads of their enemies, but also are known to shrink the bodies of the dead until they are small, almost doll-like in size. These bodies are kept in the large huts and treasured highly. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I have a surprise for you. In my recent trip to South America and my visit to the Yavaros, at great personal risk, I was able to procure two of the macabre specimens. Yes. Yes, I have here in this trunk the shrunken bodies of two full-sized human beings. That is, at one time they were full-sized, but now they are the size of large dolls. A man and a woman, ladies and gentlemen, perfectly preserved. The only specimens of their kind in existence outside of the sultry jungles of South America. Never before have they been seen or displayed upon the lecture platform, but tonight I am going to show them to you.
Now you make your public debut, my two beauties. Aaron and John, the new sensation of the lecture stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you please, presenting two perfect specimens, the only ones of their kind, of the secret process which enables the savages of the jungles of South America to reduce their enemies to doll-like size. Here we have a living man, about 6 foot in size during his lifetime, now reduced to midget size. And likewise, here a woman, once a living, breathing individual like you and you and you, now this horrible trophy of the curer's eye.
You see, Alan and John, they like you. You are a success. A huge success. You're talking. You. No. No, you cannot talk. Dad, you cannot talk. No. You cannot talk. You're dead. You're both of you dead. Stop talking. Stop. Stop.
Sure, Captain, it's a strange passenger we got aboard this time, I must say.
Oh, you mean Strensky? Aye, strange he is, mate.
But what's he running away from, sir?
Oh, sure, mate, that ain't a proper question to be asking of a man when he lays as many pound notes on the table as that man did for this passage. Hit me out of England tonight, he said. And get him out of England, I did.
Now, could he be one of them embezzlers?
Oh, aye, that he might. The trunk he was carrying. Well, he wouldn't let any of the men lay a hand on it. He brought it down to the cabin himself.
I'd like to get a look in it.
Aye, and so would I. But he stays in that cabin of his all the time. He's down there now. And I'll bet he's looking in that trunk this very...
The cabin door is locked. No one can come in when the door is locked. It's going to stay locked until we get there. South America, they won't get me there. No one will get me there. Why did I run away? What's the matter with me? No one heard them but I. No one in that audience but I. They're in that trunk there. There's two of them. Why don't I find out now if no one heard them but I? Why don't I? For sure. Yes, I must. No, they couldn't have talked, not they. The two of you lying there. You didn't talk, did you? No. No, of course you didn't. You're dead. You're more than dead. Hollow flesh shrunk by the smoke of heat until you're smoky little dolls. Aaron and John, I'm free of you forever. Forever. You. Aaron. Thing that was Aaron. Why don't you say something? Again. I heard you again, the two of you. I heard you.
No. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it, you little things. You can't speak. You're dead, burned in the flames. Stop it. All right, I'll stop you. I'll stop you. Into the sea. I'll throw you into the sea. Come, you and you. I've got you in my hands. I'll throw you into the sea. First, you, Ellen. Into the water. There. And now you, John. Into the sea. The sea will stop that tongue of yours. There. Now I'm through with you. Through with you. The water will stop your mouth. It stopped it. I'm free of you forever. The two of you forever.
Huh? What's the matter? What's the matter?
The matter? Oh, what do you mean, Captain? Nothing is the matter.
Well, I thought I saw you throw something in the water. In fact, I'm sure of it.
Oh, just some old things. Yes, that's it. Some old things I didn't want.
Oh, I see. Well, as long as everything's all right.
Yes. Everything's all right. Now.
It is a weird night, isn't it?
Weird? Why do you say that, man?
Yeah, it's so dark. No moon, not a star in the sky. It's like we were sailing at the black of a tomb without even candlelight to lead us. You know, if I was a superstition... What in the devil's name is that?
What? What are you talking about?
There, to starboard, see? Two lights. Take it, what lights are those?
They're coming closer.
Our ship lights? No, that can't be. Why, I've sailed these waters for 15 years.
It's they.
What?
The two of them, their faces. See them gleaming faces. Ellen, John, get back. Back to the water I threw you in. Back.
Trensky, what's back. Come over you? Back. Stop leaning over the rail. You'll fall in. You'll fall in, man. Ah! Look out!
Help! I fell in. Help me! Here! I'm here! Save me! Save me!
They're coming for you! Stay afloat!
Yes. Yes, I'll stay afloat. They'll save me. I won't die. I won't. They'll save me.
No, Peter.
Huh?
Take his other arm, Evan. I have his legs.
No. Let go of me. Let go.
Come, Strensky. Yeah.
Join us.
No, stop. Ellen, John, the two of you, stop. You're pulling me under. Drawing me.
Well, Mr. Robler.
Well, Mr. Martin. What are you looking for tonight? Rationalization, morals? For, of course, the moral of tonight's story is a healthy and a hopeful one, that evil is its own undoing. That reminds me, Frank, outside of Hitler, Hirohito and Company, have you a nomination for the evilest man of the year?
Well, leaving Hitler and his fang-toothed friend out of it sort of restricts me, doesn't it?
No, because anyone who thinks that evil is impersonated only by the militarist is quite naive. But you have your say, and then I'll have mine.
Do people say you're slipping, that you can't take it anymore? Well, if you're short on vitamin B1 and iron, if that's why you're losing your pep and sparkle, remember, ironized yeast tablets supply both vital substances. Of course, a rundown condition may be due to other causes. If in doubt, see your doctor. But if you simply need more vitamin B1 and iron, get ironized yeast tablets right away. They've been of great help in scores of such cases. In fact, ironized yeast has been so successful that it's sold on this no-risk, money-back basis. If you don't begin to eat better, to feel better, and so sleep better, the cost of the first bottle will be refunded to you in full by ironized yeast, Box IY, Rahway, New Jersey. And now, what about this Mr. Evil of 1943?
Well, I'd like to tell you about the evil now. I feel like it, but I'm going to tell about him in a play called Murder Castle. Yes, Mr. Evil of 1943. It takes place, as usual, at a time called next week.
Yes, tune in next Tuesday again for Arch Obler's eerie story, Murder Castle. And if you need more vitamin B1 and iron, be sure to try ironized yeast. But remember... There's only one ironized yeast. You'll know it instantly by the yellow and orange package and by the big letters IY on the container and on each tablet.
Those white shoes you now own are not going to be easy to replace. So give them the best of care. Clean them with Energene Shoe White. It's made only with the very whitest pigment. And that amazingly white pigment is thoroughly mixed into every particle of every drop of Energene Shoe White. So it goes on smoothly and dries quickly to a really white white. Keep your white shoes looking better longer. Buy Energene Shoe White. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Greetings presents Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X. Another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
I'm thinking of a girl. Very pleasant person, very attractive, too. She has cool hands, a nice voice, and a gentle manner. She's crisp and efficient, but she needs help badly. She's the American nurse, and her problem is this. There just aren't enough like her to go around. Not enough nurses for the hundreds of important nursing careers now open in hospitals, industry, research, the armed forces, and private duty. Now, you may not know the girl I mentioned, but perhaps you know someone very much like her. A young girl with at least a high school diploma, of good health and character. If you do, tell her this. America needs 50,000 student nurses this year. Tell her you think she might be one of them. If she agrees, have her stop in at the hospital nearest to her. She'll never regret it, and neither will you.
Now, tonight's adventure into the world of the unknown. The world of Dimension X. The doll shop stood on a quiet Washington side street, not too far from the sprawling Pentagon building. A woman and a child waited outside, the little girl peering eagerly through the window at the dolls inside, and the woman glancing impatiently at her wristwatch, as if expecting someone who was late for an appointment. And there was nothing about the doll shop to warn them that they were waiting to keep an appointment with Doom.
Oh, Mommy, look!
Yes, what is it, dear?
In the window of the shop, the tiny dolls. Oh, Mommy, do you think Daddy will buy me one?
Well, we'll ask him when he comes, dear. He said 3 o'clock on this corner.
I see him, Mommy. There he is.
Oh, Henry, here we are.
Hello, dear.
Hi.
Sorry I'm late.
Well, we've been waiting for you. Cindy's been
telling... I'm afraid I'll have to call off the shopping, Alma.
Oh, Henry, we promised.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. You've been the wife of an army colonel long enough to know his life isn't his own.
What is it this time?
Oh, some more of that flying sphere nonsense. The pilot who says he sighted it last month crashed and was killed today, so the general wants a full report.
Dear, what next?
Daddy!
We'll have a staff meeting at the Pentagon at 3:15.
Daddy, look in this window.
Oh, I haven't time, dear.
Just for a minute, Daddy, please.
Cindy, I haven't time to stop and watch a bunch of 6-inch dolls parading around in the shop. Say, they are lifelike, aren't they? Look at that, Alma. Dolls are marching around like a regular review. They've even got their own little band.
Henry, your staff meeting.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yes, I've got to run. Now, look, don't go spending a lot of money on that nonsense, Alma.
No, dear.
Bye.
Bye, dear.
Bye, Cindy.
Bye, Daddy. Oh, Mommy, look. Look, the band's going to play.
Aren't they wonderful, honey? You know, it's funny. I must have stood on this corner 1,000 times, and I've never even noticed this shop before.
Good evening, children.
Oh, well, good evening.
Mommy, he talks awful funny.
Hush, Cindy.
Would you like to step inside the shop of Santo Perigi?
Well, yes, we would.
This way.
Oh, Mommy, it's like... It's like fairyland.
Here in the shop of Santor Perigi, creator of Perigi's universal, wonderful dolls, the world of adult reality is blended with the world of child's fantasy.
This is a new shop, isn't it, Mr. Perigi?
What is new and what is old? Come, this way. Would you like to meet one of my little ones?
Oh, yes.
This one in the red jacket is Toto. Speak, little one.
Isn't that wonderful? Mommy, he talks, the doll talks.
Amazing, it's absolutely amazing.
That is nothing for Perigi's wonderful dolls. Listen, sing, Toto. Sing for the little girl.
My name is Toto.
Cindy, listen.
Sing, Toto.
Men are big and tall. Dolls are very small. When men begin to fall, the dolls will rule them all.
Oh, more, Mr. Toto, more. Well, how do they work, Mr. Perigi?
How do they work? Ah, that is the secret of the great Perigi, greatest of all doll masters. To make an ordinary doll is nothing. To make a perfect replica, that is something. But to make a doll with intelligence, that is the work of an artist, huh?
Well, yes. Well, they must be very expensive.
Madame, when I construct a doll like Toto, I cannot bear to be parted from him permanently. So instead of selling, I rent my little people.
You rent dolls?
Precisely. $10. I have but one request. When you grow tired of my dolls, you must return to me in good condition.
Oh, Mommy, could we take him home?
Take him home! Take him home! Take him home!
Oh, look, Mommy, look! He's bowing and dancing. Oh, Mommy, he wants to come. Please, I'll take such good care of it, please.
Well, honey, we'll have to deal with your father later, but... Well,
oh, Mommy!
All right, wrap him up, Mr. Perigi. Oh, dear, I have a feeling when your father comes home, we'll be sorry.
Be sorry!
Now, Toto, this is my room, and you're going to sleep right here next to my pillow. Oh, Toto, don't laugh like that. I'm going to have to teach you some manners. You be quiet, because my daddy will be home soon, and he's a colonel in the army, and he'll bust you to private if you don't behave. Now, you wait here. I'm going to introduce you to my puppy dog, Mr. Blister. So be good now. Here, Blister. Here, Blister. Come on, Blister. Come here. Mr. Blister, now this is Toto. Oh, dear, I don't think Mr. Blister likes you, Toto. Stop it, Mr. Blister. Come over here and shake hands with Toto, Mr. Blister. Come on now. Let go!
Cindy, Mr. Blister, come over here. Why, what happened, dear?
Mr. Blister tried to bite my doll. Look how frightened Toto is.
Dolls don't get frightened, Cindy.
But he is, Mommy. He screamed.
You just imagined it, honey.
But he did. He did.
Well, Mr. Blister didn't mean it. You know he's the gentlest little pup alive.
He isn't. He's nasty and I hate him.
Cindy, you've hurt his feelings.
Okay. He tried to buy my new doll and I don't ever want to see him again. Ever.
Oh, dear. All right, Mr. Blister, you come downstairs with me. Come on now. Cindy's angry at you tonight.
I'll kill him.
Why, Cindy... Where did you hear a thing like that?
Toto said it.
Well, I see. Well, you've had an exciting day, honey. You brush your teeth now and go to bed. Daddy's coming home late, so we'll see you in the morning. Hmm? Good night, darling. Sleep well.
I hate him, Mr. Toto. I hate him.
Morning, Alma. Breakfast ready?
Just a minute. How was the staff meeting last night, dear?
Oh, horrible bore as usual. Where's the little one?
Up in her room. She'll be down in a minute.
Oh, say, remind me to take some papers back to the War Department, will you? Mm-hmm. I left them in my strong box.
Henry?
Hmm?
You told me it was against regulations to bring secret papers home.
Well, I had to finish some work for the old man. Nobody will ever know the difference.
Well, suppose not. Oh, dear, would you feed the puppy before we sit down? His bowl's under the sink.
Where is he?
That's funny. Here's a supper from last night, only half eaten.
Getting fussy.
Blister? Hey, Blister! Blister! Where the dickens is that mutt?
Maybe he's on the back porch.
Oh, maybe. Here, Blister. Here, Blister. Alma.
Mm-hmm. What is it, dear?
Alma, look.
Why, Henry. Is he?
Yes, he's dead.
But how? What happened?
Well, from the looks of it, he might have been poisoned.
Poisoned? Who on earth would do a thing like that to an innocent little pup?
I don't know. Let's see his dish.
Oh, Henry.
I don't understand this at all. Say, what's this?
What's what?
Well, look, there are pieces of broken glass in his food. Blue glass.
Glass? Glass. Henry.
Huh?
Well, I just remembered something.
What?
It may just be coincidence, but in the bathroom this morning...
What about the bathroom?
Cindy's blue glass. You know the one with the Mickey Mouse on it.
Mm-hmm.
It was broken, Henry. I found pieces in the wastebasket. I meant to ask her about it.
Oh, Alma, for heaven's sake, you aren't suggesting that our little girl... Why, she loved Blister more than anyone.
Not last night, she didn't.
Why not?
Well, he went after Toto.
Well, who's Toto?
Oh, her new doll.
You bought her one of those dolls?
Well, I just rented it.
Rented it?
Yes.
Look, Alma,
I... Oh, no.
Oh, well, all right. What's this got to do with Blister?
He went for the doll, and Cindy... Well, Cindy said... Henry, she said she'd kill him.
What? Well, that's ridiculous.
It's true.
Good heavens, a 9-year-old child putting ground glass in dog food? She'd have to be a monster.
Mommy!
Now, don't say anything. I'll talk to her.
Good morning, dear.
Morning, Mommy.
Morning,
morning Daddy.
Hello.
What's the matter?
Nothing, Cindy. Sit down, dear.
Yes, sir.
Cindy, your mother tells me you broke your blue drinking glass.
No, I didn't break it.
Now, Cindy...
I didn't.
Well, now, somebody broke it. It wasn't your mother and it wasn't me.
Well, then it must have been Toto.
Cynthia.
Cindy, you know Toto was only a doll. Now, a doll couldn't have broken your glass, could he? Well?
But he must have done it, Daddy.
Cindy, you know how Daddy feels about little girls who tell untruths. Now, did you break your glass and maybe accidentally get some pieces into Mr. Blister's dish? To sort of punish him for biting your doll?
Oh, no, Daddy.
I'd hate to think you'd done something you knew was wrong and you were blaming it on the doll.
What's the matter with Mr. Blister? Is he sick?
He's dead, Cindy.
Oh, no, he can't be dead. He isn't dead, Daddy. No, he isn't. He isn't. Mommy,
Yes, dear.
But he'll come back. He has to come back.
No, he won't come back, honey.
Not ever.
No, Cindy, not ever.
Now that we've told you, Cindy, do you want to change your mind about the glass?
Let her alone.
Daddy, you think I killed
him? See what you've done. The child feels guilty enough, Henry.
Oh, dear, this is no time for feelings to interfere.
Feelings don't know any time, Henry. When they come, they just come. You go up to your room, honey. Daddy and I'll be up in just a minute.
I don't want to.
Please, Cindy. We'll be right up. Please. There, that's a good girl. And close the kitchen door behind you.
Mr. Blister's dead. And he isn't coming back. Ever. Ever. Daddy, it was me, but it was you. It was you!
Dimension X will continue in just a moment. You know, friends, Breakfast of Champions is a whole lot more than a phrase written across a package of Wheaties. There's one thing I could tell you. I could tell you that it means champions in the world of sports eat Wheaties. And it's so true. You bet it is. But I've got a better idea, and one I think you'll like. I think perhaps you'd rather get the story from a champion himself. So here is a champion. Will you introduce him, Ed Prentice?
Now, young man, will you tell us what you do for a living?
I pitch.
You what?
Pitch. You know, baseball. We have a baseball team, you have to have a pitcher. I'm a pitcher. I pitch.
Oh, yes, yes, I see. And are you on a team?
Yes, sir. I'm on the Cleveland Indians.
Cleveland Indians, hmm? What is your name, young man?
I'm Bob Feller, and you know it as well as I do, Ed.
Sure I do, Bob. It's good to see you. This makes your 14th season playing with the Indians, doesn't it?
Yep, Ed, 14 years.
Well, tell me, Bob, how long have you been eating Wheaties?
Oh, about 20 years, give or take a couple.
You mean you started eating Wheaties before you started playing ball?
Why, of course. What's so strange about that? Most people start eating Wheaties before they get to playing ball. In fact, most people never start playing baseball. You don't have to be a ball player to enjoy the lift you get from Wheaties with milk and fruit.
You're right as rain, Bob. No champ ever said a truer word about Wheaties, breakfast of champions.
Eat your supper, dear.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, Cindy, you scarcely touched your lunch.
I don't feel like eating.
Is it Mr. Blister?
Oh, Mommy.
Cindy, answer your mother.
Now, Henry, she'll work it out in her own way, dear.
Oh, I don't know. When I was a boy, there was such a thing as discipline. Where this child is being brought up...
Henry.
Well, it's true. There's no respect. Lying. Oh, I don't know. Alma, what's happened to us? We were a nice, peaceful, happy family until you bought that cursed doll.
Now who's blaming things on the doll?
Well, it's true.
Henry. You wanted to get some papers from your strong box.
What? Oh, yes. Excuse me.
Will you try to eat something, Cindy? Now, darling.
Yes, ma'am.
Alma! Alma!
Yes, Henry, what is it?
Alma, it's gone.
What's gone?
The box, the strong box is gone.
Well, it can't be. The door to your study's always locked, and you and I have the only keys.
I know all that, and I tell you it isn't there.
Well, who would...
I don't know, Alma. Those confidential reports, if they ever get into the wrong hands...
Oh, I warned you about keeping them here.
Oh, what if it ever came out in the open? Can't you see the papers? Army colonel, derelict in duty.
Call the police, Henry.
What, and throw my career in the wastebasket after 17 years? And we've got to find it ourselves.
But it was there when I went in to clean this morning.
But what about your key?
Well, it's right here. I always keep it right with me. That's funny.
Oh, no.
But my other keys are all on the ring.
You've lost it.
I don't see how.
Alma, how could you do it?
Henry, please.
Come on, we'll search the house. I can't think of anything else to do.
Oh, dear, you're going to miss your staff meeting.
Well, all right, never mind the meeting. My whole career goes up in smoke if we don't find those reports. Now, somebody get hold of your key and open that room. I know, Cindy.
Oh, let the child alone. She's been through enough. You know she wouldn't do a thing like that.
I don't know anything anymore. I don't know my own child. I don't even know you. All I know is that strong box is gone with papers that are dynamite if the wrong person gets them. The question being who? What's that?
It's coming from upstairs.
What's that blasted doll again?
Something must have set it off. I don't know how the mechanism works.
Well, for heaven's sake, let's go up and shut it off.
Right.
Dodo, Dodo, Dodo! Kill him, kill him, kill him! How do you do?
Stop
how
it.
How do you do? How do you do?
Blasted little imp! There.
Henry.
But since we've got this thing...
Henry.
What?
Look.
Where? What?
Around the doll's neck. The key. The key to your study.
It was Cindy, after all.
I don't believe it.
Ever since she got this fool doll, she's been acting half insane. First the dog, now this. I think she hates us, Alma.
Henry, Cindy is my child, and I know her. I know she's a good, sensitive little person with no malice in her.
You're just simply refusing to face the facts, dear.
What are you going to do?
I'm going downstairs and have a talk with that young lady. Cindy, you're not telling me the truth.
Yes, I am, Daddy.
Now, all I'm asking is that you tell me the truth. Now, where is it?
I didn't take it, Daddy. Honest, I didn't take it.
I suppose you're going to tell me now that a little 6-inch doll took my strong box and hid it. Well? Cindy, I'm speaking to you.
I didn't take it, Daddy. You don't understand. Toto did it. Oh, he's terrible awful. He says things. He says he's going to kill everybody.
Oh, Cindy, you're inventing things.
It's true. At night when I'm sleeping, he stands next to my pillow and whispers things to me. Awful things. He told me he'd kill me, too, if I told you.
Alma, I think this child is sick. I think she needs a doctor.
She's frightened, Henry. She's trembling like a leaf. Come on, darling. We'll go up to your room.
I don't want to go
up
there.
No, honey, Mommy will stay with you.
I'm afraid. He's up there.
Who, Cindy?
Toto.
Well, he won't be up there for long. Mr. Toto is going right back to Parigi's wonderful doll shop before I lose my sanity, which means right now.
Colonel Grayson, welcome to the home of Parigi's wonderful doll.
Are you Parigi?
Santor Parigi, creator of the universal doll. The doll with the mind. The doll.
Yes,
with...
well, I'm returning one of your masterpieces.
Oh? If you will step into the rear of my shop. Now, what is the complaint?
There's no complaint. Here's your doll. Good riddance.
My little Toto, rejected, you found the world of men too filled with hate. We will change all that later on. Return to your comrades in the window, little one. And now, Colonel Grayson?
I think we have no further business, sir.
Ah, but we do, Colonel. Let me see. Ah, yes. Here it is. Do you recognize this, Colonel?
Well, that's my strong box. Where...
My little Toto is very clever, sir.
Are you trying to tell me your doll stole that from me?
Let us not say stole. I'm merely keeping it in custody.
What's your game, Parigi?
Blackmail. You give me what I want, I do not ruin your career.
What do you want?
Information. We already know something from the reports of the War Department concerning a certain strange-looking sphere reported by one of your pilots.
What government do you represent?
I represent Parigi's wonderful dolls, none other.
I'm not so naive, sir.
Perhaps I should explain. Each man hides something from the world. Each man loves something more than life. With the help of my wonderful dolls, I obtain personal information which enables me to control the men who control the world. Men like you.
Hand over that strong box.
I warn you, I have a gun.
Give it to me.
You are being foolish. Put down that walking stick.
Now.
No closer.
Now. Hello. Give me the police. Hello. This is Colonel Henry Grayson. I've just killed a man. Parigi's doll shop, corner of 4th and Lexington. The body is in the rear. I'll wait for you. Shut up. Shut up, you little fiend!
Colonel Grayson!
Did I hear you speak? Oh, it can't be. I must be going out of my mind. A 6-inch doll. Shut up! Your master's dead!
You are mistaken, Colonel. I, Toto, am the master.
What do you mean?
If you will examine the body of Santo Parigi, you will see that he does not bleed. And he does not bleed, Colonel, because Santo Parigi never lived.
Never lived?
Santo Parigi is a doll.
A doll? But... he's a man. He talks. He walks.
The people of Meretrix are skillful doll builders.
Meretrix? Doll builders? Who are you?
I am Xanthus Imperator, commander of the legions of the third planetoid, Meretrix.
Legions? Planetoid?
My people and I, whom you regard as dolls, come from a tiny planet beyond the moon.
What?
So small that it cannot support our population.
And it's true.
We landed one of our space spheres on Earth 3 months ago with the intention of colonizing. Unfortunately, one of your pilots intercepted us.
So that's why you wanted our information.
Precisely.